is Matt Savage, and you're listening to Top Pair Poker Podcast.
Welcome to the Top Pair Home Game Poker Podcast, bringing you tales, tips, discussions, and great interviews, led by two veterans of the poker home game scene. Without further ado, here are your hosts, Robbie and Bruce.
The dog days of summer are upon us, those 90-plus degree days that make you long for the fall. Beat the heat by playing some home game poker in a cool basement or an air-conditioned rec room. Welcome to the Top Pair Home Game Poker Podcast. We appreciate you joining us. In this show, we explore an interesting twist on an old-time poker standard. We're shocked to find a poker instruction book selling for a sky-high price. And we welcome a special guest to the program, Lee Jones, poker author, industry executive, and accomplished player. You'll find his insights and stories compelling. Chelsea, is it true the more fans we have, the cooler that'll get in here?
Hey, how you running? Beats, suckouts, triumphs, and tragedies from last week's home game play.
Well, Robbie, how are you running?
It has been a very, very pleasant last couple of weeks, Bruce. Thank you for asking.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, it's good. I only got to play in one game, one poker game, but and I lost. Okay, I'll just put that out there, you know. But it was nice, you know. It wasn't such a huge or tremendous loss or anything. Couldn't really get anything going. But what was specifically nice about this game is we had a guest at this game, actually, a former guest of ours here on the podcast. If you recall, Zach Resnick from Just Hands Poker. You remember that guy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure I do.
What a great guy. He happened to be, you know, visiting in Israel, and, you know, he rang me up, and he's like, Robbie, you know, is there a spot open at your game? And I'm like, there's definitely a spot open, but, you know, this is my dad's game. You gotta be aware of what you're getting into. It's not just, you know, simple, plain old hold'em, not just Omaha. It's, you know, the crazy dealer's choice. Everything's no limit. He's like, all right. I sent him a little bit of reading material on, you know, a whole bunch of different games. And, he really, really seemed to enjoy himself, and he caught on pretty quickly. He's got a really great poker mind. And as we know from listening to here on Top Pair. And, you know, all, you know, my dad and all the guys, you know, they absolutely loved him. And, you know, they're like, oh, anytime you want to come back and visit us here, you know, definitely always a seat open for him. So it was, you know, it's always special to, you know, to get someone who's not from our regular crowd to join our game. So, that was really nice.
That's cool. That's twice we've been able to do that then. You've got Zach in your game, and I had Robert Woolley that was in town visiting some family to my game. So, you know, maybe eventually we'll be a poker stop, you know, kind of like this crazy Pokemon thing. We'll be the poker stop where people are passing through Salt Lake can always, or passing through Israel can always come and, sit down at the table take us for all our money.
That's for sure. And, you know, away from the felt, I guess you'd say, I've just been, you know, ever since I got back from the World Series, you know, I've just, you know, every waking moment that I've had free, you know, I've just been, you know, bursting with all of these stories, and I had to get them out, and, you know, I've just been writing and, you know, and publishing a whole bunch of stuff on my Card Player Lifestyle blog, and, you know, of course, everyone here at Top Pair is certainly invited to read it. You know, recently I put up a video, actually. It's a little compilation video that a buddy of mine was kind enough to edit. I just took, you know, anywhere – I went into my trip knowing that I would do this, just taking – clips anywhere from like 3 or 4 seconds to 30 seconds in length. And, you know, when I was all done, I just, you know, did a whole big, you know, data dump, and I sent it all over to him, and, you know, he did his, you know, wizardry and magic and really put it all together in something that, you know, I personally think looks really great. And, you know, I put that up on the blog as well, and, you know, people are welcome. It's about, you know, a little over 5 minutes of a video, but it certainly captures you know, what happened, and it was just, you know, it was very fulfilling. You know, even if nobody watches it, it was just so great for, you know, now I have that, you know, that concretized, crystallized memory. So that was really cool.
I know one thing I've always wanted to, not always, but since you've gone and that, wanted to kind of bring up, since, You know, some of the original really good friends of the show, we've had them on, and they still help us line up guests in that, Linda Johnson and Jan Fisher. Mm-hmm. I noticed you had a picture with them.
I certainly did.
Nolan Dowling is, and I'm just, for my own curiosity's sake, just because, like I say, they've played quite a role in helping us get some stuff going here. Uh-huh. How did you encounter them, and what was that like?
That is a very good tease, sir. And I don't know if you've been looking at my notes. That's good, in a good way. Uh-huh. I don't know if you've been looking at my notes, but one of the articles that I had intended, and I still intend to write when I get to it, I'll just sort of tell you what, you know, and our listeners here at Top Pair, I had dinner with them. And that was pretty incredible. You know, Nolan is someone with whom I forged quite an incredible bond. And, you know, Linda and Jan, you know, everyone loves them, knows them, and, you know, they've just been really kind as well, and, you know, have read and patronized my site and, you know, done a lot of, really great things to help spread the word, about, you know, the poker activities that, you know, that we're engaged in. And, you know, it just worked out. And I said, you know, I know, Nolan, you're incredibly busy. Would you be happy to come to dinner? You know, I'd love to treat you or something. And, you know, he ended up treating, very kindly, all of us, you know, and, Linda and Jan joined. And, you know, I won't say more than that now. I'll leave it as a little bit of a tease. But when I do write that article, you know, thereafter on a future episode of Top Pair, I'll be happy to, tell some additional stories. But it was certainly, legendary type of experience.
Oh, great. I hope you gave them my fondest best wishes. I
certainly did.
I really miss those guys. They used to play down in Mesquite, host a tournament there every 6 months, but it just got to the point where they're so busy with their other things that they couldn't do that any longer. And so I haven't seen them for a while. And I used to always, that was a highlight of my year to go down to Mesquite in August and then usually again in January and play some poker and interact with them and have some dinner and breakfast together and play a little horse. And so that's cool.
Well, they're just wonderful people. I could have just sat there from, you know, dinner to breakfast to lunch and back over again. It was just really wonderful.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Before we get into how Bruce is running, I just sort of like to open up a little free giveaway. You know, one of the things that I was doing while I was in Las Vegas is I had a whole bunch of decks of cards, card player lifestyle cards, and I sent a few to Bruce as well over in Salt Lake. And, you know, if anyone out there wants to win a free deck of cards, really, really easy. Just visit my website, cardplayerlifestyle.com, and just, you know, take a look at any of the articles that you like, and whichever article you like, just tweet it out, and, you know, mention my name, at cardplayerlife on Twitter, and the hashtag CPLdeck. I'll be giving away a pack of cards each month, and I'll be, you know, sure to make an announcement and let you know, and we'll send it to you, and hopefully you can use that in your next home game.
Great. Yeah.
You, what do you think of the cards, Bruce? You got a pack. What do you like?
They're good. They're good cards. They're plastic. They, you know, look like they'd last a long time, you know, the design and that with your logo and everything. It's not like it's a, you know, a billboard. It's pretty simple and pretty clean, but gets the point across. Cool. So no, they're definitely great.
Well, thank you. And to segue then, did you get to use them in a home game over these last couple of weeks?
You know, this is probably the first time I'd have to admit that I haven't really played in the last 2 weeks. I think.
No.
Yeah, I think the last show we mentioned, or I mentioned how, you know, seems to be there's less games being posted this time of year. People have got a lot of other activities and that, and just the games that are posted and my schedule and things have been going on. I haven't been able to make a game, so I can truthfully say I haven't lost. So,
unbelievable. Great run. Running well.
Don't have much to bring up from that point of view, but I do have some amends to make, as they say in a 12-step program. I had it on my notes for the last episode, and I think I might have even included in the synopsis the mentioning of our winner of our sheet of uncut cards. That our sponsor J Design has been so kind to provide. We picked out two winners, and I actually notified the winners before the episode, but we got sidetracked, or I got sidetracked, and didn't play close enough attention, and so I didn't announce it. So I want to apologize to them. And we did pick a couple of winners: Steve Acker in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and Mike Price in Cambridge, Ohio. So kudos to you guys! Congratulations for winning. we'll probably get another contest going here with Jason to maybe give out some more of those. They're a great prize, great for framing and hanging in your poker room or your recreation room. Mm-hmm. So, apologies to them, but the word's out now, and hopefully they'll get those sheets right away. So.
You want to remind our listeners how they can win decks of cards? Well, sorry, the uncut sheet of cards from J-Design?
I haven't actually come up with an idea for a new one yet, so we'll just kind of let it sit for a week and get it going on the next episode when I coordinate with Jason a little bit more.
Sounds good.
Hey, I did find out something else kind of interesting. I'm a big reader, big on Amazon. In fact, I got an $80 rebate, which I guess was a win about a month ago, some class action lawsuit that they'd settled where they'd been overpricing for some particular publisher or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the details of. I just woke up and there was an $80 credit on my Amazon account for books. So, but as part of that, I get emails, saying, hey, based upon your past experience, you might be interested in this and this and this. And one was for a couple of poker books and I had to do a double take. The guy I've never heard of. In fact, I tried to do some research and really couldn't find out much about him. First name Kim, last name Ishida, Ishida.
I'm drawing a blank. I don't know.
And he has this poker site for training in at fishypoker.com. But there's two books on there. One is called The Poker Alchemist. And the other is called Pot Limit Omaha Course from Rags to Riches.
Hmm.
But what made me double take is the price. I think the price for the Poker Alchemist, if you wanted to get the paperback or something, was like $299.
What?
But the Kindle edition, I mean, the Kindle edition, for God's sake, it's just air, was $156.
Hmm.
And I looked further into it, and the book's only about 170 pages long. So, and then the Omaha book was $150. So I'm thinking, wow, I don't know how many he sells. I can't honestly imagine me ever spending that much for a poker instructional
book.
It's
like $1 a page.
Yeah, the greatest book in the world. So just kind of gee whiz information you might want to have around the poker table next time you get together with the guys and say, what do you think the highest price poker instruction book is on Amazon? But I'll put a link to that in the show notes just if you happen to be thinking something's crazy.
I guess
that,
I know why they – I haven't heard of these books and why they haven't sold so many.
And that author, like I say, you'd think, but there's really not much on there on him other than he says – what was the quote? I think I even put it on here. Kim, on the Fishy Poker webpage, it says, Kim's a guy you'll generally never hear from. He has contributed his course material and all the books which were published on Amazon as a unified course on this Fishy Poker. It says, most of the time he's busy in private, high-stakes games around the world. So, I don't know, maybe kind of a mysterious guy. Who knows? Well, maybe it's a pseudonym for Tom Dwan or something. Who knows?
I don't know. Well, you're saying Kim's the guy, you'll probably never hear from, but that is not true of our top pair listeners. We absolutely love hearing from you, and we get to hear from you all the time. Please, reach out to us on Twitter, at Top Pair, and, of course, on our Facebook page, the Top Pair Home Game Poker Podcast. We always love to hear your feedback.
And what a great segue. That's super.
I try.
That is super. Hey, one quick thing before
we let's... feedback and the email, don't forget.
Oh, yeah. Forget my part of the job.
There you go.
feedback@toppair.net.
Yep.
I'm concentrating on so much getting our winners in there that I forget the others. So, yeah, we'd love to hear you from feedback@toppair.net, and you might make the show and be famous.
Yep.
So. Hey, and this is, I have to give credit to you. You're the one that sent me a link to it, but a new twist on an old game, Deuce to Seven, which is kind of one of the original games that a lot of people play. In fact, Doyle Brunson said that he thinks it's the most pure poker you can play. It's a draw game, Kansas City. You try to get the worst possible hands, flushes and straights count against you, aces are high. So the absolute worst hand you could have with those qualifications, aces being high and flushes and straights against you were 2, 3, 4, 5, 7.
Well, that's the best hand you could have.
Well, the worst hand in poker,
right,
but the best
right.
hand
have in this game. Right. Yeah. So, and we play it quite a bit, in our mixed games. We'll call that, usually single draw. You can play it triple draw, but that's usually played limit, but single draw is no limit, or we'll combine it with Badoogie. But this twist, and it's pretty simple. And let's see, it came to us from, Remco Rinkman. From Poker News. Yep. So again, I'll put a twist to it on there. But he gives some good tips about deuce to seven and the basics of it and some of the strategies. But he said this tip, they call it, no limit, deuce to seven, single draw, one up. Uh-huh. 4 months, or simply just one up. And I can't wait to get back to the next game to call it and force people, despite all their groaning, to play it. But, The twist is, and I think this is a great twist, in the normal game, you're dealt five cards down, just like any draw, you know, five card draw, anything like that. In this game, the last of the five cards that you're dealt is dealt face up.
Oh boy.
So, it's almost like a stud type of thing. You think, well, okay, you know, he can't bluff me the saying that he's got the nuts now because he's got this jack showing or he's got this 10 showing or whatever.
Right, but you could You could draw card.
So yeah, you're dealt the five cards with one faced up. There's a round of betting, and then you can draw. And the other thing is if you draw the face up card, the card you get to replace it has also got to be face up.
Correct.
And then there's another round of betting. So again, I think the bluffing possibilities are there if you happen to have, you know, jack, ace, king down below, but you happen to have a seven on top, you know, just snow that thing and let them think, conversely, you know. Otherwise, but if you happen to have a jack on top, but you're perfect down below, so it just brings up a whole new dimension to that. So it's called one up, or deuce to seven, single draw, one up. And it's, again, the last card that you get dealt, of your five cards is dealt face up. And then if you happen to turn that card in, as far as when you do the draw, the card that you turn it in for gets to be dealt face up also. So,
well, I think I might be playing that at my next home game too. Sounds interesting.
I think it sounds like a lot of fun. Yep. So, hey, right after a few short messages, we'll be right back with our special guest, Lee Jones.
It's hard to have a home poker game without playing cards, and there is a difference. Top Pair is proud to feature and recommend J-Design cards. Made of durable plastic, the right thickness for easy shuffling and dealing, plus a unique look with a pip placement, artistic backs, striking face cards, and a huge variety of colors. Give your home game players something to talk about by playing with the distinctive J-Design cards. Check the Top Pair homepage, toppair.net, for a link, or go to classicplayingcards.com and order yours today.
Seat open, table one.
Hey, wait a sec. I know this guy. He sat on my left yesterday. Ah, I wish I remember how he played.
You should have taken notes.
Oh, come on. I'm not bringing a notebook to the table. I look like a fish.
You don't have to. There's an app for that. Poker Notes Live. Notice a tell? Want to keep track of your live poker sessions? Use the Poker Notes Live app to tag and classify your opponents. Record your wins and losses and improve your overall performance at the poker table. Poker Notes Live. Get it now on Google Play and the App Store. Don't ante up without it. Brought to you by CardPlayerLifestyle.com.
Hey, look who we found hanging around. Let's get a mic for him and see what he has to say.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Top Pair Home Game Poker Podcast. Boy, do we have a special guest for you today. Someone, one of the most interesting, unique, and, you know, just truly awesome people who I've ever met in the poker industry. I met him about 6 months ago at the Poker Stars Caribbean Adventure. The man's name is Lee Jones. He is the director. He's got the coolest job title ever in the world. Director of Poker Communications and Chief Poker Evangelist for Poker Stars. Welcome to the show, Lee.
Thanks, Robbie. It's good to be here.
Thanks for joining us.
Well, it's very good to have you on, and really, thank you very much for coming on the show. Lee, you know, with a title like that, we have to start with the obvious question. How does someone get a title like that in the first place, and what exactly does that mean? What's your day-to-day role at PokerStars?
Well, I've had a bunch of different titles with PokerStars, going back to 2003 when I was actually the poker room manager. Mm-hmm. And I've bounced all over various aspects of the business. But I guess I just got there via working my way along, and then I ended up working for Eric Holreiser in the communications department, and we were looking for a title, and we ultimately ended up with the chief poker evangelist is the unofficial title. I'm not called that. It doesn't say that on my business cards, unfortunately. But basically, my job is to talk about poker, to teach poker, to write about poker, to essentially bring the poker message to the masses. And the masses can be current players or people that have never been introduced to the game, or it's media people, it's legislators, it's staffers of legislators, lobbyists, you know, who are working on regulation, whatever.
Wow. That's an amazing, like, position. That's a really, like, guess what you get to wake up and do every single day is to, like, that's just so incredible. Wow.
Well, I mean, it really is a great gig. And when I first joined PokerStars 13 years ago now, I called a friend of mine who, when I was first interviewing, and I called a friend of mine who's already working for PokerStars, and I said, well, what's it like working for PokerStars? Because I was working in Silicon Valley in the chip industry. Mm-hmm. And he said, Lee, we get paid to think and talk about poker. I'm like, okay, then sign me up.
So you moved from computer chips to poker chips.
Exactly. Yeah.
I did find a quote, which I really liked in a piece about you. I think it might have been in Card Player or something, but it talks about your being at PokerStars, and it says his outreach program has helped both PokerStars and Full Tilt Poker regain the ground each site lost after pulling out of the U.S. market. One of his primary goals at PokerStars is to make poker more appealing to a wider audience. He doesn't just want to cater to professional grinders. He wants to reach out to soccer moms, retirees, and all the others of millions of casual players around the world. And I read that and I thought, man, that's what we're after here with our home game poker podcast, after the casual audience. So that was a great quote.
Well, thank you. I've always, much to many people's surprise, I was never a professional player. And I actually, to the surprise of people that have never played against me, I was never a professional player. But for me, the game has always been about fun. And so I understood that, you know, we created this world in which people could actually make a living. And that was cool. I mean, it was kind of amazing to see that suddenly people were actually becoming professionals on the back of PokerStars, right? But I never felt that was really where our biggest audience, or where our true path forward lay. Mm-hmm. I mean, if those people were able to be professional players in our environment, you know, that was fine. But I always felt that our main role was to make the tent bigger and then bring people into the tent. So,
No, that's great.
What would you say is your best poker related memory from all of your years at the company?
Oh my goodness.
We try to give good questions here. Something that just comes to mind is that, oh, that was awesome.
Do you know, I wasn't at PokerStars when Moneymaker won in 2003. Chris won in May. People, you know, you have to go back a ways to recall that the World Series of Poker used to be in May. Right over Mother's Day. And then when it moved out to the Rio, they said, well, you know, when is the store empty? Well, the store is empty in July, because nobody can stand to be in Las Vegas in July. So let's put the World Series in July, and there you had it, or in June. So back in the old days, Chris won in May of 2003, and I joined PokerStars shortly thereafter, and that was not a coincidence. But then the next year, when they got down to the final 10 players, for the main event of the World Series, four of them had qualified on PokerStars. And we thought, wow, we've got a pretty good shot here. And ultimately, it came down to Greg Raymer and David Williams, both of whom had qualified
right.
on PokerStars. And we're like, we're free-rolling, you know?
Wow, I didn't realize that they came up
yeah,
through PokerStars.
Yeah, as a matter of fact.
I mean, of course, yeah. Chris did, but I didn't realize it.
And as a matter of fact, Greg, this is a true story. When we were running satellites to the World Series, we were running sit-and-goes that gave a $10,000 seat. So I guess it was a, you know, $1,000 buy-in or, you know, whatever it was, right? And the tournament manager was firing these things off one at a time. And it was coming down to the time where we were going to have to cut them off because we needed to get the money over to Harrah's and,
right.
you know, I mean, basically we just needed to close the gate at some point. And the players were just emailing us at a furious rate saying, run more, you know? And so at some point he was on instant message with me and he says, we got to stop him. And I said, yeah, I know. But I've got the support people telling me that there's emails just pouring in, begging us to keep running him. And it was, I mean, it was late at night. It was, I guess it would have been after midnight in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, he said, you know, we were thinking about it, and he said, okay, look, the boss is asleep, right? And I said, yeah. He says, okay, let's run two more. and then just, you know, shut him down. And I said, okay, fine. Greg Raymer won the very last one we ran.
No kidding. Okay.
Greg Raymer.
That is an amazing answer to that question.
Won his seat on the last sit-and-go satellite that we ran for the 2004 World Series, and the rest, as they say, is history.
That is an awesome
wow,
memory.
That is that's a good story.
Unbelievable.
Wow. Well, you, in our communication back and forth, I know you're looking to do it a little bit later this afternoon. You've got a live stream on Twitch. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about what that entails. I'm old and a fuddy-duddy when it comes to technology. So, you know, my Twitch is what I get in my come along when
yeah.
the weather changes. So maybe you can.
Well, I'm an old fuddy-duddy too. And Twitch required me to do some resetting of my understanding of the world. What a lot of people don't realize is Twitch is the fourth largest user of internet bandwidth in the United States.
Wow.
After like, you know, YouTube and Facebook and
Google or
Hulu.
Something.
Yeah, Hulu.
Instagram.
No, Hulu maybe.
Yeah.
And you need something that uses up bandwidth, right?
Or Netflix maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, Netflix is probably up in there. Anyway, I think Hulu is 5. Or maybe that Twitch is 5 and Hulu is 4. Whatever. I mean, it's in the top 5. And basically Twitch is just a platform from which people play video games. And other people watch them play video games.
Mm-hmm.
So, but if you think about it, it makes all the sense in the world. Like, let's say that you're a World of Warcraft fan or you're a Call of Duty fan and you want to get better at the game. Well, you know, what? Reading a book about how to play Call of Duty better is probably not going to work very well, right? It's just such a visual experience.
Mm-hmm.
So people watch really good, they watch the, you know, kind of the Phil Ivies and such of Call of Duty playing Call of Duty. And then they pick up cool tips and tricks and hints by watching them.
Okay.
Or they just watch it because it's fun and interesting, right?
And entertaining, right.
Yeah, and entertaining, right? I mean, even if you're not trying to get better at the game. So 2 or 3 years ago, Jason Somerville was becoming quite big on YouTube. With his playing poker online. And Twitch reached out to him and said, you know, we're thinking about expanding out into poker. Would you be interested? And Jason said, sure. Sounds like, you know, peanut butter and jelly to me. So he started streaming on Twitch. And I'll give you guys a hint. If you want to avoid sounding like a total noob, don't ever use Twitch as a verb in this context.
Right.
You are streaming on Twitch. You are not twitching.
Right. Right.
It's a noun.
But basically, he became super popular on Twitch, where he would just play poker and people would watch him. And if you've never seen Jason Somerville stream poker on Twitch, you owe it to yourself to see it. And And it's a fascinating, wonderful, entertaining experience. And the thing that always blows my mind is that when you watch the chat, it's because there's a chat box
right
where people can chat while they watch. And if you watch the chat box, you see people going, "What's a blind? What's an ante?"
Wow.
And I go, "Wait a minute. You're watching this.
Mm-hmm. And you have no idea what's going on.
You have fundamentally no idea of what's going on, and yet you continue to watch it."
Wow.
Right? Which is, isn't that amazing?
Yep.
It's like, talk about bringing somebody into the tent.
Mm-hmm.
That you have engaged somebody who literally is trying to bootstrap themselves into understanding what, you know. The first time I saw the chat, "What's the button?" And I just thought, this is amazing. This person is watching Jason stream poker and they don't know what a button is, which means they really have little or no understanding of what's taking place.
Right.
But for whatever reason, it's engaged them.
Mm-hmm.
This is genius.
Right.
So
that's when you decided you're going to do it?
Well, no, because there's people that are way better than I am at it.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't play on PokerStars for real money.
Right. Right. You're in Tennessee, right?
No, I am an employee of PokerStars.
I see.
Yes, I am in Tennessee, but it wouldn't matter if I were anywhere because I'm an employee of PokerStars. Right. I can't play on PokerStars for real money.
Mm-hmm.
But the Poker School Online, which is essentially a division of PokerStars, came to me and said, "We would love to have you stream on our channel on Twitch and do hand reviews where you talk about hands that people send in." So people send in hands that they've played, and then we discuss, you know, how they might have played them. And I put them up on a replayer.
Right.
And then we just go through and I say, "Oh, well, I would do this." And then the people can come into chat and say, "Oh, well, you know, why did you do this?" Or, and actually, you know, I had somebody a couple of weeks ago say, "What's a check raise?"
Hmm.
And I thought, okay, cool. Right. I mean, that's the guy we want, or gal,
right,
that we want watching.
Well, and you're certainly bringing poker to the masses that way, you know, really from the bottom there.
Yeah. And it gives, you know, and one of the things about Twitch, like when people are playing, and there's tons and tons of people that are streaming poker on Twitch now, but the ones that are playing, you know, that are playing live, they can only do so much teaching because the next hand comes up and there's no way to kind of stop it by context and stuff like this. But the hand review shows that we're doing on Poker School Online really give us a chance to take it through step by step and back up. And, you know, I have this PowerPoint that I have that has a bunch of different slides of things. And like, if I want to, you know, like I have one of the slides says, "Don't ever limp in. If you're going to come into the pot, raise."
Mm-hmm.
And so I just like slide that into frame as part of the conversation. And so that way you're getting actual, you know,
kind of shorthand, so you don't have to type it in every time.
That way we're doing legit poker training as opposed to, you know, it's probably less entertaining, but it may be a bit more educational, if you will.
Right. And this is twitch.tv/pokerstars?
Pardon me?
This is twitch.tv/pokerstars?
No, that's the PokerStars channel.
Okay.
twitch.tv/pokerschoolonline.
Mm-hmm. Cool. I think we should move from the high tech to, I guess, sort of low tech. One of the things that you did, and you know, why is Lee Jones qualified to teach poker, is you've authored a poker book called Winning Low Limit Hold'em. And, you know, obviously it takes a lot of time, a lot of effort to write a good poker strategy book. So, you know, we're wondering, what is it that made you decide to undertake that project in the first place?
You know, I first started writing it because when Hold'em first came, I was living in California. When Hold'em first came to California, there were really no – this was the late 80s when California legalized Hold'em. And a lot of people don't realize that California had legalized poker for, you know, decades. And then – but was a period where they essentially the card clubs got Hold'em legalized, and so in the late about 87, mm-hmm. they got Hold'em legalized, and I started playing the games there, and there was only one or two books available about Hold'em at the time. Mm-hmm. Sklansky had written a book called Hold'em Poker, and then there was what would become the classic Hold'em Poker for Advanced Players by Sklansky and Monmouth. And those games were written, those books were written about a Las Vegas game that was a very, very different game than what I was seeing in California.
Mm-hmm.
The strategies that were applicable in those books and in those games made no sense in the context of the low stakes games I was playing in California.
Right.
And I was talking, and it was sort of the beginning of when people were getting on the internet, and I was talking to some friends over the internet about hands and why what was in the books didn't work and so on and so forth. And I just began taking notes, and I don't know, for no reason that I can explain, I just decided I would try to, you know, coalesce all those notes and ideas into a book. And, you know, ultimately, it just so happened. So I published the book in 1994. The book is literally 22 years old Christmas.
Wow.
But then it essentially sat on the shelves, and I would get royalty payments of, you know, $200 every quarter for about 9 years.
Wow.
Then the moneymaker boom hit, the moneymaker / WPT boom hit.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly everybody wanted a book on poker, and there just weren't that many, right? Because the boom
right.
hit, people hadn't had to go write a book.
Right.
And so my book was on the shelves, and suddenly it became a bestseller. And there was literally a brief shining moment, and I think the moment lasted about a day, where I was in the top 100 books on Amazon.
Oh, wow, that's incredible.
Wow.
My publisher sent me an email. He said, that's go cool. quick, go look at the Amazon top 100 books. And I was number 99 or something. I was like,
unbelievable.
Unbelievable, yeah. And at the time, Mason's book was maybe in the top 20.
Wow.
And Jim McManus's book, Positively Fifth Street,
right,
was number 2.
Hmm.
On the Amazon, literally number 2 on the Amazon list, and the only book ahead of it was about some wizard kid in the UK. So, it's everything.
Yeah, so they say timing's everything.
Right time, the book was already on the show.
Well, tell us a little bit about your home game experience. I know that there was a post that mentioned a kelp card club that you were playing in, I guess, 25 years ago where you started. And since we're kind of all about the home game and our audience are home game players,
I think that there's
tell us a little bit about that aspect.
Home game. I mean, that's just what it is.
We happen
to
agree.
And I will very quickly say that when I say a home game, I mean one where people are getting together and playing poker and not where it's essentially an underground card club.
Right.
That happens to be in somebody's house.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And as far as, I mean, to my thinking, if you're charging a rake, then it stops being a home game and it starts being an underground card club.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, if everybody was throwing $5 right. for the pizza, that's fine. But if you're raking every pot, it's no longer
sure.
a home game. But anyway, I just love a good home game, and it's something that I years and years ago. I mean, we're talking about in the 90s at this point. I just became sort of obsessed with a good home game, and I don't know why, but I actually had a custom Tiffany lamp made. And I got hands on a real legit octagonal poker table, not one of those tabletops that you buy at Walmart,
right.
but I mean a legit octagonal poker table with felt and everything. And actually bought custom chips. And
did you have like the green visor and like the suspenders?
No. That wasn't right. I mean, that's just part of the Hollywood thing. To me, it was
right.
all about the accoutrements, the mm-hmm. the chips and the cards and everything just being a really good, you know. And when you get what's fun about it is it's kind of like baseball in the United States or soccer everywhere else in the world, that when you get a bunch of people around a poker table and you say, right, it's 1-2 hold'em or 50-cent $1 hold'em, whatever it is, right? Then that's all you need to say. And in the same sense that if you put a bunch of people around a soccer ball anywhere in the world, they know what to do. And so that's what makes a home game great, is everybody can come in and, you know, grab their snack and beverage of choice, say hi, catch up about the kids for 10 minutes. And then it's like, okay, sit down and
deal the cards.
See who hits the button first, right?
Right.
That's and you're off to the races. And so and the other thing, of course, is that the nature of the game means that you're all sitting around across the table from each other with nothing to do but talk.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have the opportunity to visit with your friends and catch up. And it's not like people getting together, watch a movie together or anything else, or a party where everybody's kind of broken off in their own little pods or whatever. It's a very, you know, integrated social experience. And I think it's awesome.
I think you just mission statement of this podcast. That's what it sounds like. Wow. Love it.
Yeah. That's exactly what we preach. So do you still play a home game today, or do you have not time for that in your busy schedule?
I play home games when I can. I occasionally host home games here, and I have a real poker table that I had made now. That's slightly smaller than a standard full-size poker table, but it seats 8 comfortably.
Mm-hmm.
And that same Tiffany lamp is still hanging up over it. I play when I can. And there's a few games here in Nashville. People are mostly, it seems, in Nashville, they're largely into the tournament thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they want to get together and you know, play tournaments, and then a cash game may break out, you know, as people start to bust out of the tournament. My problem is that quite often they say, right, we're going to meet at 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, and we figure, you know, we figure we'll finish up around 10 or 11.
I can't really commit that much time. You
know? Right.
So that, right. And that's one of the reasons. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why I've always been a cash game guy rather than a tournament guy, but, just the ability to get in and get out as my schedule permits. Or you know, like I can be in a cash game and I just go, you know what, I'm not having fun anymore for whatever reason. And I can just stand up and leave, right? A tournament, it's like, okay, you're locked in. And so if you're having fun and they say, well, you have to leave now, you don't get a choice. And if you stop having fun, in some senses, you don't have a choice because you've got these chips in front of you and you feel stupid walking away from a chip stack in a tournament. So I prefer cash, and I just have to find the right subset of people here in town that, you know, that enjoy playing cash. But, you know, I find them, and every once in a while we have a game.
Is it a hold'em only kind of thing, or do you like, you know, throwing in some, you know, 5-card, big O, that sort of thing?
Very few people, unfortunately, because of the nature of the poker boom as it's happened, very few people are comfortable with a bunch of different variants. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, even like the last time we were playing, there was, I guess, 8 of us around the table, and somebody said, well, what if we play a round of PLO? And 6 people said, yeah, let's play PLO. And 2 people said, you know, I don't play Omaha. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like you can't, it's not fair to sort of say to them, well, we're changing the rules in midstream, right?
Right.
So we couldn't play PLO, but mm-hmm. I hope that one of these days I'll have the right crowd together, and when we say PLO, everybody will raise their hand and say, yeah, do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you ever get in Salt Lake, we play mostly Dieter's Choice and mixed games, from all the Omahas, all the flop games, to stud games, to draw games, so
When you play the draw games, do you play them limit?
Well, it depends on the draw games. Usually if it's a triple draw game, we'll play that limit. If it's a single draw game like Kansas City or something, we'll usually play at no limit because there's only the 2 betting rounds. But a triple draw, we'll play limit just because there's so many betting rounds.
But in the UK, they I don't know if they still do, but they used to play a lot of stud, and they played at pot limit. And there is nothing quite bigger mm-hmm. than a stud pot limit pot, because I mean that's 5 betting rounds. You know, hole has 4 betting rounds, stud has 5 betting rounds,
right?
And we used to, back when I was in California, we had a game that was fairly regular, and it was Dealer's Choice, and we'd play one round of whatever got called. And we would routinely be playing stud eight or better pot limit.
Mm-hmm.
That was a legit.
If you miss it, I gotta tell you, if you ever make it to Israel, that's what we do. We play Dealer's Choice, but every single hand is a new game, and every game is no limit. So it's pretty wild and crazy.
That to me is just, changing games every hand, that's what we did originally, and then we found it was just too, it was just too jarring, right? You couldn't get a groove of a game. And once we worked out to play an entire orbit of every game, everything made more sense.
Yeah, that's what we do. We do every orbit. Every once in a while, we'll get into a game where it'll be a time thing. It's like, okay, for 30 minutes, we're going to play this game. Okay,
again, that
30 minutes is up. Now
it,
it's your choice, okay?
Yeah. Well, one thing, I'm sure all of our listeners, we're thrilled, of course, to hear someone with, who loves the home games. But, as a PokerStars representative, I guess it sort of behooves us to ask the elephant in the room type of a question. Of course, PokerStars, it's back in the United States. It's licensed and regulated in New Jersey. And of course, you're undertaking tremendous efforts to lobby and get yourselves licensed in other states. But for home players in all of those other states, we miss the good old days of being able to play online poker. What can they do to help bring that back to other states in America?
Robbie, I am so glad you asked that. That was a question. If you didn't tee that up for me, I was going to bring it up anyway. Basically, what Americans can do is, one, the easiest thing to do is go to theppa.org. That's theppa.org, which is the Poker Players Alliance. And they make it super easy for you to tweet or email your representatives. And obviously, there's certain states where things are really hot right now. Pennsylvania is just literally on the cusp. We could literally, by Christmas time, we could have online poker in Pennsylvania. California and Michigan and New York are also on the table. And so I encourage people to get involved. And the thing is that quite often you say to yourself, well, I'm just like one person. What can I do? And I'm sure it often feels, particularly in the political process as you see it today, you just say, my vote means nothing. But I will tell you that congressmen, senators, and that means at the federal level, at the state level, at any level, what they care about is what their constituents care about, because that's how they get reelected. And so when people send in emails and tweets that say, hey, you should pass, Assembly Bill 1234 that regulates online poker, that is, if enough people do that, and it turns out that it doesn't take that many people to actually get on their radar. So go to theppa.org, the Poker Players Alliance, and they will make it super easy for you to tweet or to email your representative and get across the message. And really the message that we want to carry to people is that regulation is about consumer protection. It means that the games are square. You know that you're going to get your money when you go to cash out. You know that they're keeping problem gamblers out. You know that they're keeping underage players out. Because the fact of the matter is that people are playing poker online in the U.S. right now. Mm-hmm. It's not like a question of whether they do or don't play online. They are playing online. They're going to play online. And right now they're playing online, with the exception of three states, at unregulated offshore sites, and nobody has any idea of how square the games are, whether their money is protected. Mm-hmm. And the sites have no particular motivation to try to keep underage players and problem gamblers out.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's what you can do. Theppa.org, get involved, make a difference, and get online poker to your state. And I will tell you, by the way, even if you can't get online poker to your state, if you can get it to the state next to yours, if you can get it into California or New York or Pennsylvania, there's going to be a domino effect. And just like we saw Powerball start out in a handful, which is the big lottery, of course, the big LinkedIn lottery, the share liquidity lottery, if you will. how it started in a few states,
mm-hmm.
And then expanded out essentially across the entire United States. We expect to see exactly the same effect across the United States, and eventually states will have no choice but to jump on board.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, well, that's great. We'll definitely put links to that on the show notes for this episode. We've had PPA people on before, so we're a big advocate of that. I'm a member of it and everything like that. But, you know, it's great to remind people, and we'll put links on there for that. So we know your time's running short. We want to let you go. But before we do, I want to express our appreciation for you taking some time out and entertaining us and informing us today. And is there, obviously, links that people get hold of you on social media? Is there anything else you'd like to tell us?
I think the regulation and PPA thing is one of the most important, because I'd love to see poker back, you know, regulated and across the United States, and mostly because it'll grow the game, not because, you know, I'm planning to make a living at it or anything, but just because I want to see the game thrive and grow. So let's get the regulation job done and go back to playing in our home games and online.
Okay. Well, very good. We'll probably, if it's okay, keep in touch, and maybe when this starts to break out a little bit to different states, invite you back on to have an update, because, like I say, sounds like we've just scratched the surface today of the things that you're involved in and things that you could tell our listeners. But again, we really appreciate your time.
This has been wonderful. Thank you, Lee.
All right. Thanks very much. Getting slow played on the Feld is bad enough, but when your favorite podcast does it to you, all you can do is shake your head.
One outer. A humorous, peculiar, significant, or noteworthy story from the past poker home game.
Hey, Robbie, as you might remember when we were back in our How You Were Running section, that I had to do mea culpa for being a little late on getting those listeners announced and getting the information to J Design to get those one cut sheet of J Design cards out to our winners.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, in the interest of good customer service, I sent a follow-up email to both of our winners saying, hey, I apologize. I just dropped the ball. It just, kind of fell through the cracks on both of these, on your winners, but they've been notified and you should be looking for it looking for it soon.
Right.
And I apologize. And our winner, Steve, emailed me back and said, hey, Bruce, no worries. Obviously, you're slow playing me. well, okay. I guess I am slow playing. Yeah. So, thanks, Steve.
All the cards have been dealt for this episode of Top Pair. We hope you found it informative, thought-provoking, and entertaining. Robbie and Bruce will be happy to have you join them for our next show. Just a reminder, we love your input. Contact us via email at feedback@toppair.net. Give us a follow on Twitter at Top Pair and like our Top Pair Home Game Poker Podcast Facebook page. After all, we're not always right, just 99% of the time. For a more in-depth look at the Top Pair Home Game Poker Podcast, including access to past episodes, topics to be covered in the future, and links to information mentioned in the show, log on to our website at toppair.net.